how can we get these coaches, you know, looks at these kids? And so I, you know, came up with the idea to live stream this football combine. So we did one back in May. They would do the 40-yard dash, they would do the vertical, and then run through football drills. And it went over really well.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're joined by Chad Hunt, digital and video manager at the Sanford Pentagon in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. He's going to tell us about the venue, the events they host, and much more. We're here today with Chad. How you doing, Chad?
Doing good, guys. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Matt's sitting across from me over there, 6 feet apart. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good over here, Justin. Thank you.
All right. Chad, can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and then your role at the Pentagon?
Yeah. My name's Chad Hunt, and I'm the digital video manager here at the Sanford Pentagon. I've been in this role for, this is season number 5 coming up. And my role at the Pentagon, it kind of varies depending on if it's a game day or not. But on non-game days, you can find me building game scripts, producing videos, editing videos, graphic design work, for a variety of things, mainly for our in-house video board production, for a variety of events, but also some social media graphics, social media videos to help promote those events and maybe some recaps and stuff like that. Before my job here at the Pentagon, it all started as an intern for the Tacoma Rainiers.
Oh, okay.
And they're a AAA team out in Tacoma, Washington, AAA affiliate of the Seattle Mariners.
Right.
And so that was a handful of years ago now, but that's kind of where I got my hands-on experience with the video board and game entertainment business, and I just fell in love. I started as kind of the more a mascot wrangler and kind of more of the game entertainment side of things. And then I caught eyes of the video board in the control room, and I asked my boss, hey, can I transition a little bit and get my feet wet with the video board production? And she said, yeah, we can get you in there. And then it was, 2-3 months of that, and moved back here to Sioux Falls and got a job with the Sioux Falls Sky Force, the G League team here. Worked there for a couple of years, and then transitioned to Midco Sports Network and got into kind of the live TV world as a producer and videographer, and love that. And then this job at the Pentagon, I've actually been here since it opened in 2013, but I started as a part-time employee, just a game day producer, and then they kept booking events, getting busier and busier, and it turned into a full-time job 4 or 5 years ago.
Wow. So you've had a lot of different experiences when it comes to, I mean, anything seems like related to a sporting event that goes on. Is that something then that you just, you always had an interest in, or what drew you to that kind of line of work?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of a sports nut. I actually, baseball would be my favorite sport. Although working in sports, I don't know if I'd want to work in baseball for a career, just because it was an eye-opening experience with how many games they actually play in a summer, especially at the AAA or the major league level. So yeah. if you're at the ballpark, I mean, 8-game homestands, then you get a 4-day, quote unquote rest, but you're still prepping for the next homestand. So after I transitioned kind of into the basketball or the indoor sports, it was a little bit more time friendly and, family friendly from that aspect. But it's just really cool to see kind of that's what caught my interest initially, was just to see what goes on behind the scenes and how everything, kind of works.
Nice. And then you came back to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where you're working at the Sanford Pentagon. Now, can you tell us a little bit about the variety of events you host there?
That's what I love in my job, is it's different every day. We host definitely a wide variety of events. Obviously basketball would be our primary one. Handful of volleyball matches, wrestling, MMA fights, concerts. We've hosted a wedding here on Heritage Court before. We've also hosted a funeral.
Wow.
So there's been, banquets. I'm sure I'm forgetting some in there, but yeah, there's definitely a wide variety. Keeps me on my toes.
Yeah. And I've been down to the Pentagon, I'd say quite a few times. We're up here in Brookings, and there was, it was a couple of years ago, cause you guys were hosting it was both the NSIC, basketball tournaments. And then also, I believe it was like the national championship rounds. And my alma mater is Northern State. Yep. Shameless plug again.
There we go.
Try to find a way to bring that up during an episode. But they had played down there during the conference tournament. I remember going to all the games down there too. And then they went away for regionals and then ended up coming back because they made it through regionals. And it was, I mean, like I said, I've been to that place before, but it was really packed for those basketball games. And that was such a fun facility and atmosphere to be in.
Yeah, I mean, Northern State, they do a great job. They travel really well. You know, their joke is kind of we're their second home court. And I mean, the last couple of years, that's been true because, you know, they travel really well for the NSIC tournament. And then a few years back when they made a run, and that championship game was something else. It was just packed from wall to wall. And, you know, they unfortunately came up short, but the atmosphere in that was just unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah. And you go from your main thing is basketball, you said, but you even mentioned MMA fighting. Like, I didn't even think of that as one of the bigger events that you might even bring there. So do you have to change your show quite a bit from one event to the next, or is it really depending on who's coming in and what event it is?
Yeah, good question. It does kind of depend on who's coming in, and how much of an in-house show they have and how much they have, you know, their hands on it. A lot of, for example, for the MMA fights, they'll come in with the TV truck, and it's primary for the TV audience, but then they'll give me a feed from their truck to, you know, to display on the in-house boards, but they control kind of what goes on there. And so I'll still be there and kind of help, you know, plug stuff in, but essentially they're running that show. So, but yeah, for as far as our events go, just, you know, we just transitioned from basketball games to volleyball to, you know, concerts, and a lot of that just depends on what it is and how much, we want to get involved with the in-house production.
Yeah. Cause when it's a tournament like that too, or even like a basketball tournament, when you have all these teams coming in, does the conference usually give you just, you know, here's all the logos for everything and you got to make content at all for the displays, or do sometimes they come with their own content pre-made?
Yeah. And again, that kind of changes too. Like for the NCAA, they're pretty picky about, you know, their brand and standard, which rightfully so. So they send a hard drive full of content, and then we're required to play that content. But the NSIC, they're great partners of ours, and, you know, they've been flexible with what we can show us. So yeah, they send sponsors, sponsor logos, and then from a game entertainment standpoint or intro video standpoint, they kind of gave me the flexibility to kind of just run with that the last few years. And, you know, it's just awesome. It's kind of my goal to give those kids the, you know, championship experience when they show up here in Sioux Falls. And I think we've done a good job with that the last couple of years.
And you mentioned they sometimes bring in their own content and stuff, and I'm sure they have it sized and whatever, but that made me think, like, concerts and stuff, they sometimes bring their own displays and equipment. Do you have people bring their own equipment in very often too? Is that something you have to coordinate and make sure all that's hooked up too?
Yeah. Especially for concerts, that's the most popular. Again, another one that comes to mind would be like a cheer and dance competition where they come in, it's a full facility rental, and they bring in projector screens and whatnot. So they, again, they kind of run their show. But going back to the concerts, yeah, those are some of my favorites, especially if we're able to use our crew and our staff. But a lot of times they'll come in, they'll set the stage, and then they'll hang, you know, just projector screens on the sides of the stage. And then we're able to plug in from our equipment, and we can show the live video during the concert. And usually I'll be the TD, and then we'll have, you know, four or five camera operators that are right there next to the stage. And it's nice to be doing something different.
And you mentioned they come in and they help, you know, use your staff and your crew. Could you maybe, I have a hard time thinking of how to say this because it's not typical, because anything we've learned so far is that you don't have a typical event or typical day, but right. If it's a volleyball or basketball game, what is your control room setup like with your staff and your equipment? How do you have all that laid out?
Yeah, for the general basketball volleyball setup, we'll have a producer, which is usually myself, and their role is to just you know, follow the game script, make sure everybody's on the same page with sponsor elements and timeouts and, you know, videos to get played. They're sitting next to the director/TD or technical director. They're sitting at the video switcher and they're talking on headset with the camera operators. And so they're just basically telling them what to shoot. So they're the one, excuse me, they're the one saying standby one, take one, ready two, take two. And then next to them, we have our replay, pretty self-explanatory. They're looking for good plays, dunks or three pointers, and they can rewind and queue those up basically, you know, at an instant, or they can build packages. Something I put a lot of pressure on our three player replay operators the last couple of years with building pregame packages. So we'll incorporate, like, into the intro video, we'll incorporate kind of a pre-produced, maybe 30 seconds. So the first half of it would be pre-produced for everybody. And then the second half of the intro video would be shots of the teams warming up that, you know, just took place 10, 15 minutes prior. So that three play operator is looking for cool, dramatic footage, and then we'll slow it down to 50%. And then basically we'll piece the first half of the intro video, piece that together with the clips that he found and turns out to be pretty cool, synced up to music and everything too. So, sorry, I went off kind of a rant there, but then, next to that, we have the show control, and their job is, again, organize a show control computer with kind of the game script, and then executing the full page sponsor graphics, and also kind of our stats look and headshots, in-game animations, things like that. And then typically we'll have three manned cameras and two or three unmanned cameras, whether that's a PTZ that we have mounted above the center hung, or some GoPros on the backboards.
No, it's funny. You mentioned going on a rant about the replay operators. That's something that, yeah, I've always found fascinating, because it was when I first started Daktronics and I would go in shadow control rooms during events.
Yeah.
You don't realize how many things the instant replay operator goes through. There's sometimes where they say, you know, if there's like a bad injury, so you have to look at it, and the producer has to be back to be like, all right, don't put that up on the screen. You don't want to show that.
Right.
There's something bad going on. So there's like some censoring involved, yeah, in there that I never thought of before.
You don't want to make people queasy with, yeah, the replay there.
Yeah, for sure. They always, you know, if there's a bad call or something, and that's always kind of a tricky one too, is do we show it in-house as the refs are looking at it? I know there's some rules on that, but
yep,
yeah, that's always a questionable one too, is whether we should show a bad call or not.
Yep.
But in our standpoint, you know, we're a neutral site for a lot of these games, so it's not really, you know, we're not playing favorites to anybody. So
mm-hmm. Right. And it's called Heritage Court there, and it's got some sort of ambiance that goes with it. I'm sure I've heard there's like a retro scoreboard. Can you talk about the facility and the atmosphere there?
Yeah. So when they built Heritage Court Arena, again, back in 2013 is when it opened, but their vision was to make it look old school, similar to what you see in the movie, The Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. And so we have a dark wood parquet floor. The paint scheme is kind of the browns and the neutrals. But the old school center hung scoreboard. We also have two auxiliary scoreboards that they have a clock. I mean, it's like a circle secondhand clock, and it's synced up with the time. So if you have, you know, let's just say 5 minutes and 30 seconds on the game clock, that seconds hand will be, you know, down on the 30. And then as it counts down, it'll actually rotate around in a circle, just like you would look at your, you know, at a watch or a clock. And it's, I don't know how the engineers at Daktronics designed that and made it work, but I know there are some headaches in the planning stages, but it's awesome. We get a lot of compliments on that. And I don't know if there's anywhere else, you know, in the country that has something like it.
I was going to say, well, I remember seeing pictures of it when it was getting installed before, yeah, I actually went down there for an event. And that was the first time I'd seen that, aside from, maybe, like you said, a movie like Hoosiers, but it
right,
was,
yeah.
And then going down there and seeing it. And when I was down there with, you know, like other college buddies watching the basketball games, it was one of those, I've never seen this before. And then it slowly turns into the, well, that's really cool. I kind of, yeah, like that now.
It's like a classic, yeah, look in a modern sports era there.
Yeah, for sure. And that's another thing they're going for, was to keep the old school feel, but also have the, you know, the high class amenities with the video displays and stats and all that kind of stuff too. So I think it's the, you know, the best of both worlds.
Yeah. And then kind of, you know, you've kind of gone through the control room here and the different products and displays that are inside the bowl or on the court. And then we also heard, though, that you came up to one of the video summits that we held in Brookings earlier this year. Is that right?
Yeah, that was awesome to be a part of. I attended the baseball user group back in January, I think it was. And, you know, obviously we can't host any baseball games.
That was my next question. Yep.
Maybe wiffle ball.
Yeah. But being, you know, since I came from the Tacoma Rainiers initially, I just kind of wanted to see what everybody's working on and kind of what the new trends are nowadays, but especially with the Sanford Sports Complex here, even just in my 4 years, just how fast it's grown, you know, there's some potential that we could someday have a baseball stadium, and, you know, that would be awesome if we do. So I just wanted to kind of get a, head start on things and just see what's out there. But even from the basketball standpoint, I was able to, you know, come out of that 2 or 3 day conference with new ideas. And, you know, it's just always good to talk to some of your colleagues that, even though they're in a different sport, you know, you're all still doing the same thing. So it was just good to pick their brains on, hey, how do you do this? Or if you have a webcast and you haven't, you know, we just had some good conversation. It was good to be a part of.
Yeah. And idea sharing that happens at those conferences is that, was this your first one that you came to for Daktronix?
Yeah, this is my first Daktronix user group. I've been to the idea conference 2 years.
Oh, okay.
It's been a few years ago now, but again, it's just good to get with your colleagues and kind of see what everybody else is working on, getting ideas.
Yeah. Is that something you guys do often? We've heard that different teams or different sports say, okay, this is happening on the other side of the country and it's not really a competition for me. I'm just trying to implement something cool and interesting. Are you finding different ideas that other people have done? Or do you see that when you go to other sports events or watch on TV and say, that's kind of cool, let's see how we can do that here?
Yeah, for sure. I don't get out to live sporting events as much as I would like to, but that's my, you know, you do your homework, you go to a Twins game or, you know, a Timberwolves game or whatever around here. And it's just, you know, you sit there as a fan, but you know, in this world, it's hard, or in my job, I guess I should say, it's hard to go to a game and enjoy myself without staring at the video displays and say, hey, how'd they do that? Or, hey, that's a great idea. Yeah. So, and when I was working with Midco, it was kind of the same thing. I'd watch a game on ESPN and, you know, there's a camera over there. Why don't you take that camera? You know, stuff like that. So it's hard to enjoy yourself when you go to a live game, but it's, definitely, no matter kind of where you go. I went to a game in San Diego a few years back and, you know, came back with some ideas, and it's good though. You got to keep things fresh. And especially this day and age, you just got to keep it, you know, keep things rolling. So
I was going to laugh. We always called it the Daktronix curse, you know, and that's what I've always known it as, is whenever I go to a facility with friends, it's always, oh, what millimeter pitch is that?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, what are the viewing angles like on this? And they would always tell me to just shut up and watch the game.
Yeah.
And then I think it wasn't, you know, I didn't think of it that way, but until we started doing this podcast, and we've interviewed a lot of people in the sports industry, production, athletic directors, where it's not the Daktronix curse. It's just, that's an industry thing. Cause they always say the same thing. They can't just go to a game and watch it like a normal fan does. They're always critiquing, writing ideas down. It's just a different lens, I guess, to watch it through.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, it's cool because everybody's on the same page. And if somebody that came to the Pentagon is able to get a good idea, then, you know, I guess I did my job right. So,
yeah. Right.
And it's like Justin said, it's idea hacking, right? So it's like,
yeah,
you share it. You're not going to be fighting for the same people in the same place whenever these groups get together. And aside from like the baseball user group, aside from it just being, you know, here's new rules that were updated, or here's how to do the stats and data layouts. There's a lot of things that can apply to the sports, no matter which one.
Yeah, for sure. It was really cool to hear, especially from the minor league groups, just how similar we are. Cause obviously we're a smaller venue and a lot of those guys are too. So we had a lot of the same problems and issues, and we're able to, you know, talk things over, and it was just good to be a part of.
The Major League Baseball players are players. The Major League Baseball people that are there for the sport, not the players. They always make that comment too about the minor league systems, about they love to see the crazy different promotions and ideas they do, because they can't always take it exactly into a major league stadium, but they just love seeing what they're doing in the minor league systems because there's so much more freedom, I guess I'd say.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
And I got to know, out of all the events that you've hosted and all the different experiences you've had, do you have some favorites that might stick out in your mind? Like, oh, this was a really cool event that we did, or this was really cool to be a part of, like last second shots or anything crazy?
Yeah, there's definitely a handful. The ones that stick out to me that I like the best are actually the concerts. And Luke Combs came here 2 years ago. It was kind of right before he blew up, you know, country artist.
Yeah.
And we booked him probably a year in advance. And then all of a sudden he started getting all these awards and whatnot. And we're like, man, Luke Combs is coming to play a show here. And and it was sold out, and he didn't travel with his entire production crew. So it was one of those scenarios is where they flew some projector screens. We plugged in our switcher, and I was able to TD a show for Luke Combs, and our camera operators were, you know, right there on the stage with him basically. So,
nice.
So that one was pretty cool. Jake Owen was another one. But as far as from a sports perspective, you can't beat the national championships that we've hosted. I mean, we talked about the Northern and Ferris State game, you know, came down to the buzzer, last second shot, you know, sold out atmosphere. I mean, I don't know if I've heard the Pentagon be that loud before. And yeah, so I mean, the national championships we have coming up here in December, we have the D2 volleyball championships. So that'll be fun. And then our big games, we always try to get one or two, you know, Division I matchups here every year. Last year we had Nebraska and I'm drawing a blank on who they played, but those are always fun to get the local, you know, Sioux Falls fan base, or, you know, they can drive from a couple hours away and they just pack the Pentagon, and a lot of those fans have never been here before. So it's always cool to hear their comments and reactions and whatnot during those big games. But yeah, so a variety to go along with kind of what we do as a variety, but kind of one of each there. So
nice. Nice. Yeah. And you even mentioned some of those fans that come, they've never been there before. And that's kind of what we've heard from these event producers and stuff that we've interviewed, is that might be the first and only experience they get at your venue. So you're always trying to implement it and be perfect and do your best job every time so that they get that awesome experience, even if they're only there once.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Not only from the player's perspective to give them the best environment, but obviously the crowd does a good job with that too. And they, it helps to have a good crowd, but yeah, we just try to make their experience that much better, so they want to come back, you know, when they can. So,
yeah. And, you know, thinking back, Chad, to when you were a mascot wrangler, to where you are today, what are some of the biggest things that have changed, you know, with just that, the industry overall from then to now?
Oh, it's just, from the technical standpoint, I kind of started in the, standard definition world. Not quite. I mean, in a lot of the venues were going to HD. So that's been, throughout my time, that's been happening over time. And now everybody's moving to 4K and 8K. So it's just, that's a trend that, you know, that's always going to be improving. And you mentioned the pixel pitch, just how clear these displays are getting is unbelievable, you know. And, but I mean, from the, entertainment, or from the kind of back of the house, that's all kind of stays the same. They're going to play the game. Some of the rules might change here and there, but, you know, as a producer's job, it's just to give the fans kind of a good experience, give the players a good experience. And then, you know, if we're streaming it to the web or to TV, to give the viewers at home a good experience as well.
Right.
It sounds like always staying on top of what's next is kind of what you're saying, because whether it's the equipment's changing, but you got to always like keep your education going and learning about what's coming up next.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. There's always something to be learning, whether that's going to user group or just, you know, watching YouTube tutorials or whatever it is. It's just, if you're staying still, then somebody else is, you know, is passing you. So.
Yeah. I think we have a saying that's like 1% better every day. Try to be 1% better. And you got to keep up on things if you're going to get that better in there.
That's right.
Well, that's good and interesting. And thanks for sharing all of that with us today, Chad, and talking about the Pentagon and joining us to tell us about it.
Yeah, you bet. You know, one other thing that I'll mention during this, during this COVID-19, you know, pandemic, my role changed a little. I haven't stopped working during this. I've actually probably been busier than normal, producing videos and whatnot for social media. But one of the cool ones that we're doing coming up this week, we have a football academy over at the field house, and normally it's called the Riggs Premier Football Academy. Normally we would host college coaches at the field house to come scout these high school kids that are looking to play college football. Obviously with everything going on, that can't happen. And so they came to me and said, "Hey, how can we get these coaches, you know, looks at these kids?" And so I, you know, came up with the idea to live stream this football combine. So we did one back in May, limited the attendance. So it was, you know, groups of 10 or less, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they would do the 40-yard dash, they would do the vertical, and then run through football drills. And it went over really well. We did a 2 or 3 camera shoot, and different sessions were broken down by the different positions, and it went over well. So they're doing it again here this week for 3 sessions, just to give those kids looks, and hopefully it pans out to some scholarships. So that was just one other event that I thought I'd mention.
That's really cool. So in that live stream you're doing then, are you doing some kind of data overlay so that they know like how fast that 40 yard dash was, or how are you incorporating like that kind of info?
Yeah. So I wanted to, but it wouldn't be official. My thought was to do like a lower third that says unofficial time. But after talking with the power coaches and whatnot, they said, well, we don't want to confuse people, because if I start the time, you know, half a second later than the actual time, then that might look bad. So what we do, the kid runs a 40, and then the power coach is mic'd up, and not only does he say the time, but he also shows the camera right by the starting line.
Oh, there you go.
What the time was. Yeah. Nice. So if he runs a 4.5, then he'll, you know, he'll say 4.5, and then we'll get a shot of it on camera, and then we'll go back to a shot of him kind of as a hero shot.
That's a nice little workaround.
Yeah. That's
so, yeah, it works. And I think, yeah, we got a lot of good feedback from the first one, and some of the kids want to better their times and whatnot. So they signed up for the second one too. So it's, definitely different times, but also, you know, we're doing the best we can. So
yeah, that's awesome that you're coming up with different ways to do things during these COVID times. I think that's a trend too, is everybody's kind of finding a different way to work around and do what they can during this time. And like you even said, you're busier than before sometimes, depending on what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, now that you got me talking here, another one that came up is our Legends auction banquet that we have usually it's right this week or maybe even last week in June, but it's moving to a virtual platform now, obviously. So the banquet, we're going to shoot basically it'll be a live program that we'll put on Facebook, and then the banquet. So instead of having a table, you're going to be in a Zoom room.
Okay.
And so you can talk back and forth with the people that would normally be at your table. Hey, should we bid on this item or wait or whatever? And so that's kind of what I'm working on this summer, is figuring out how that's going to work and getting that all organized. That's coming up in August. So
it's a lot of, here's what our events are. We can't do them the normal way. So Chad, help us figure out a way to pull this off.
That's why I'm here.
That's awesome. Oh man. Well, that's cool. And again, thanks for joining us to share some of those things. It's always interesting to hear what you do on a normal, regular day basis and what you're doing during these times now that everything's changed a little bit. But thanks for joining us and sharing your story today.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks, Chad.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dactronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.